I just want to rehash quickly what we spoke about last week, which was really the fundamentals of Amir La'akum. There are many situations that a person is not actively involved in a malacha, and yet they can transgress a rabbinic iser called Amir La'akum. It's called, the Gemara calls Shvus. Shvus means that it's only rabbinically aser, it's only aser midrabanan, it's not midaraisa prohibited. So the Gemara says that if I instruct a guy to do a malach on my behalf, I give him a commandment, I give him a tzivoy, please do this, and I tell him, cook this, or I tell him, turn on this light. So that's a violation of Amir La'akum. So we discussed last week that if I don't directly instruct him, but they have their own seichel, they have the ability to infer from a statement that I made. I told a story. I don't know what the story is. The story is that it's very light in here and the light's bothering me. Fine. Now this chacham on his own, this guy on their own, inferred that probably I should turn the light off. Probably I should do this. But that's them doing it on their own. If they do it on their own, so then that will be absolutely permitted because I didn't instruct them. Good. So that's what's called remiza. But even remiza has to be shelo b'derech tzivoy, like the example I just gave. It's very hot in here. It's very light in here. And suddenly the guy on their own infers that maybe I should do something. But if they ask you, we pointed out last week, and they say, would you like me to turn the light off? Would you like me to do such and such? I don't have the ability to command them yes. Why? Because then that's that tantamount back to shlichus. Because who cares whether I instructed it originally or they're presenting it? I am saying yes to the fact that they're doing it on my behalf, and that would be a violation of Amir La'akum Shvus. That would be a violation. So you have to do it in a very indirect manner. And then we distinguished, we said, Remiza would be a potential situation where you could benefit from a malacha of a goy. How helpful is that? So now that I have Remiza, is that very helpful? So we pointed out last week that it's not necessarily going to be helpful in all situations. The Gemara says that even if I don't say anything, the Gemara says is even if a guy just walks into the room, and the guy, we said that the example I said last week was the Shalom Zachar, and the guy sees that the lights are on, and now he turns on the light, and now you want to do something, or Stacy said she wanted to read a book, you can't benefit something that you couldn't do last week. You couldn't do before the guy turned on the light. You can't get any benefit if it's direct positive benefit. That's where the post can distinguish between removing something, indirect benefit, and adding new positive benefit. Basically, turning on and turning off. If they turn on a light, and I now get new direct benefit from something that wasn't there, so then I can't read the book over there. I can't do any activity that I wasn't able to do beforehand, and if I would want to do that activity, I have to do it somewhere else. Or if the room was very, very, the room was uncomfortable, and now the air conditioning is turned on, I can't get benefit from that air conditioning. However, if they're removing something, and I might have hinted to that, I said, it's really cold in here. And now, the guy on her own decided, okay, I'm going to turn off the air conditioning. So I didn't instruct them to do it. And I didn't get any added new positive benefit. All they did was remove something that was existing. That would be something that the poskim say would be a heter of hana'a, because I didn't instruct them and I'm not getting any new positive benefit. Why can't I get pleasure in a situation where they add new positive benefit if I didn't instruct them? So Tosfos explains the reason is because Chazal were concerned if we're going to allow you to now get pleasure from new positive benefit that wasn't existing before, so then what's going to happen? The next step you're going to do is, oh, if I can sit in a room when they turn on the light and read a book by the light that they just did, so then what? I can also tell them. So Tosfos says, Gzeira Shema Yomru. Maybe you're going to actually come and directly instruct them. That will be something that's prohibited. So I want to, we a little bit rushed that at the end. A few of the points at the end that are very relevant lahalacha that we didn't discuss. This idea, we pointed out last week, of Hana, is only if the guy, even if you didn't instruct, we said, but you're getting positive benefit. Let's take the example of the light.
I'm sitting in a dark room. The guy turns on the light, and now I can daven. Now I can learn. Now I can read a book by the light, which I wasn't able to do beforehand. So the halacha is I'm not allowed to do that in that room. You're not allowed to get that benefit. However, if the guy did it for himself, so then that was the story that I said with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. That was the example that they invited the guy over for a beer, and he said, come on. At home, we don't drink beer in the dark, and he turned on the light. So he clearly did it for himself. If he does it clearly for himself, not for specifically the Jews, but he's doing it for himself, so then that is absolutely permitted for you to get benefit, even if you're sitting in that room. Since he made it clear that he's doing it because he doesn't like it, and he wants to do it for himself, or he wants to read a book in that room, or he wants to do something that he can't do with the lights off, or with such a hot room that he needs to turn the air conditioning, then I can even get benefit from what he did. So that could really help in many, many different situations. Number one, in situations where the guy has to function, and for him, he can turn it on. He could turn things on. He's not limited at all. Or potentially, maybe we'll talk about later on, if we could create scenarios that now the guy is going to get some benefit from it for himself. So now, when he turned it on, that's why he turned it on, and now I have the ability to benefit from that situation. But there's an exception to that rule. Someone asked me a shayla, the following case. A guy's cooking up water to make a coffee on Shabbos. Fine. Why isn't that bishul akum? Why isn't that a problem? Why isn't that against the rules of cooking in the kitchen? So it's a good question. So the poskim and bishul akum say, since coffee ultimately really is just water, it's mayim, it's made up of, okay, it has a little bit of flavor, but that's also, what do you call Sprite and all the, may soda, it's mayim, it's all basically water, that's what it is. So the poskim say, just like water doesn't have bishul akum to heat up water, because I could drink the water even if it's not heated up. Anything that's edible and that people normally eat, when it's not going to be heated up, so that's not going to have the isser of bishul akum, it's not going to be treif. If the guy heats up. So let's say the guy heats up hot water. So now, the person asked me, he did it for himself. So this should be exactly like the case of turning on the light. He did it for himself, so now I should be able to get positive benefit from the water that he heated up. So the Gemara says, Beferish, that that's not true. The Gemara says that if a guy built a ramp, and now was able to let his stuff and his luggage down on the ramp on Shabbos, the Jew can use the ramp afterwards. Because the guy built it for himself. Like we've said, until now, the guy does something for himself, I'm allowed to be nene. However, the Gemara says, if I take water out of the well, and I do a malacha by doing so, let's say it was in a Rishus HaYachin, and now I took it to Rishus HaRabim, I did Hotzah by doing so. So the Gemara says, even though the guy took it out for his own camels, and for his own animals, the Gemara says you're not allowed to be nene from that water. So the kasha is, the Rishonim asks, why? The guy did it for himself. It's no different than the story with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that he turned on the light because he wanted to drink a beer. He doesn't like drinking the beer in the dark. He did it because of his own issues. So comes along the poskim in a different area in Shulchan Aruch, and sometimes this is forgotten. In Simin Shin Chav Hei, the Shulchan Aruch says the reason why you're not allowed to get hana and benefit in such a situation is because it's speaking about cooking up water specifically or taking out water specifically. What do I mean by that? Any type of activity that the guy does for himself, but that's the type of thing that he could add more for a Jew, and he knows that the Jew would want this. Like he recognizes the Jew. He's in the house with the Jew. He's in the same vicinity as the Jew. And he sees the Jew taking after him. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the heter of him doing it for himself does not apply. So therefore, the most common example, like this person asked me, cooking up the water. He did it for himself. There was no Jew that instructed him. And absolutely not, he wants to get it. You can't have it. Why? Gzeira came along Chazal and they said, they made a Gzeira, maybe he's going to add more and cook up more or take out of the well more for the Jew in the first place. And that's going to be an Isser of Amir la'akum, and that's going to be a Isser Hanah. So now we have an exception to the rule, even in a scenario where the guy did it totally for himself. Came along Chazal and they said, if two qualifications. If the guy knows you're around, and the guy is makir you, like the Mishnah Berurah says, he recognizes you, and it's the type of entity, like cooking up water, that, or cooking up any food for that matter, that potentially he would add more in the first place if he knew you wanted, then Chazal said, even ipso facto, post facto, say Chazal, you're not allowed to get any benefit, even if he only did it for himself. So that's basically one exception to the rule, to the concept of Hana. So that was one thing that we didn't discuss in the realm of Hana last week. Another important halacha that sometimes not focused on when it comes to the Hana. Let's say everything was not done appropriately. The guy clearly did it for us, or the guy was even instructed to do us. Basically, we violated Amir al-Hakam. It happens. We violate Amir al-Hakam. So what happens now? So what do I do with the item that now had a violation to Shabbos with it? Let me give you a case. A case that I know has happened to people in this room. What's the halacha if a person, a guy, delivery man, knocks on my door and shows up on Shabbos and gives me a package, or he gives me flowers, or he gives me chocolates? Now, there can be many different issues that really have to be discussed, whether or not there was a violation of Shabbos over here. Now, we once even discussed it in Shiloh of the Week, Friday night, one of the Shilohs. That's, by the way, one of the reasons we should do this. The game is, the more points you get, Shiloh of the Week, that's the most exciting thing. You get Shiloh of the Week. I remember when we had the Shabbaton here, so one of the Talmidim's wives was here for Shabbos. So she came Friday night to Davin because they were walking over to the meal. So they left with their husbands from their host. So I set it up that they would get Shiloh of the Week. What their wife asked me when they were here at Shabbos, and they excited them for the rest of Shabbos. That's good. So what would happen to the following thing? So a person shows up with chocolates. So now, we have to do a little bit of investigation. Number one, what do we have to investigate? Where is the chocolate shop? If the chocolate shop is within the Fairlawn Eruv, so then there might not even be any violation over here. And this has happened. Someone ordered something from the area, and Baruch Hashem, I said when I spoke about this, I never realized why we have such a large Erev. There's no way we have Jews in all those places that the Erev is. It's 4 mile radius of an Erev. It's unbelievable. But it's a massive Erev. But for these types of Shilas, it sometimes helps, because now you could have even the Goyim and the shops in the Erev, so then even if it's brought over, potentially there wasn't necessarily a transgression. But another fact you have to take into account, which happens a lot, usually not from local stores, let's say Amazon deliveries or UPS deliveries, is another issue. Is also ba michutz l'tchum. There is a limitation on Shabbos of where you're allowed to walk outside of civilization. If there are no houses, if you're going across the right, that's why people cannot go across the bridge. And some people have sometimes the question, should we go to this hospital, should we go to that hospital? That's Yotzei Chutz L'Tchum. A person has to go. I remember my father when he was, unfortunately, he had a seizure on Shabbos, and the doctor who did his surgery before the Shabbos was in Columbia. So I said, go to Columbia. I said, that's where his doctor is. That's where he's going to know his case. So Avadi, you have to go to Columbia. But if a person has a choice, so then there is, sometimes we have to make decisions based on the Yitziyah Chutz L'Tchum, going out of the boundary of walking on Shabbos. This is something that's very important for the bungalow. In the bungalow, if you now walk out and you walk onto the road and you start walking, there's no civilization there, and you're going to start walking. You could walk 2,000 amos, which is not so far that it could be potentially a transgression. So if a guy does either Hotzah, means they took from outside the Eruv and they brought it to your house, or even if they didn't do Hotzah, they just brought something from outside the Tchum, so technically that's Amir al-Hakam. Or if I didn't tell the guy to do anything, the guy did it on his own, but now I want to be nene from the malacha that the guy did, so that's nene from a malacha on Shabbos. Okay, so I won't be nene. So I'm not going to get any pleasure. I'll tell the guy, leave the package over there, and I'm not going to be nana, I'm not going to touch it. Fine. Come along Chazal, and they say you can't be nana from this even after Shabbos. This is fascinating. You can't even get benefit. Well, 1 second, I didn't say forever. You can't even be nana even after Shabbos. This is what's called in halacha, b'chdei sheya'asu. Chazal knew the way we work. Chazal knew, and they knew that they would say, oh, the guy, okay, I would violate Amir Lakam, but at least now I have a meal. At least now I can get benefit. At least I can have my package that I got from Amazon and I can use it on Shabbos. Say, Chazal, no, we're going to give you a knas. We're going to make sure that you don't try to beat the system. Come along Chazal and they say, you cannot get any benefit from a malacha done on Shabbos. How do Chazal ensure that we're not going to get any anah from any malacha done on Shabbos? Say, Chazal, you have to wait the amount of time, b'chdei sheyasu. You have to wait the amount of time after Shabbos that it takes for this guy to do the malacha for you on Shabbos. Now, if that means cooking an item for you, so you got to take the shot clock and see how long does it take to cook this item. If it means to pluck the fruit on the tree right outside my house, okay, so it'll be 2 minutes. That's how long it takes for me to pluck the tree. Okay, maybe it takes a little longer to climb the tree. Fine, I got to wait till I get up there. Fine, 10 minutes, okay. If it means coming from New York City or from Philadelphia, that's going to be 2 hours because that was the amount of time of the truck. That's the amount of time it's going to wait. Bechdei sheyasu is not a defined amount. Bechdei sheyasu means the amount of time, sheyasu, that it took for you to do it. Asiya, for them to do the malacha. So that is something that exists not only on Shabbos. This is a halacha that exists even after Shabbos. Okay, I still remember you. Give me 1 second. Comes along the Gemara and says, okay, well, what happens if you have something like this year? Where all of your Yom Tovim, I'm sure the women are very excited about this year, that you have Yom Tovim going straight into Shabbos. And you have sometime a Yontif going straight into Shabbos, or let's say you take a regular Yontif. You have 2 days Yontif. 2 days Yontif, what's the halacha? So 2 days Yontif, the halacha is, it's Machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Marim Beitz on Daf Chav Dalet, Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows, because one could argue as follows. B'chdei sheyasu, one of these days aren't really Yontif. Why do we keep 2 days Yontif? Because we weren't sure back in the day which day was Yontif, so therefore we kept 2 days out of Suffolk. So therefore, come along Chazal and they say, 1 second. So if the first day is Yontif, so let me wait till the end of the first day. I'll even wait the extra 2 hours that it took to do the malacha, and then it should be mutter for me on the second day. However, comes along Rabbeinu Tam and he says, no, once Chazal asr, the 2 days of Yontif, that means Yontif continues, and then you have to wait until the Bechdei Sheyasu, when? Of the second day of Yontif. I had this case. A person flew in to an area and they lost his luggage. They lost his luggage. So, what happened? The delivery came on the first day of Yontif. So the Shaila was, can you use the items that were now brought on the second day of Yontif? So the Psak was as follows. Shulchan Aruch really says that a person, the Ramah, we paskal Allah, actually the Mechaber, the Sfaradim is different when it comes to this. The Ramah says that we really should try to be Machber for the Rabbeinu Tam. Ideally, a person, and if a person's in their own home and they don't need the item and there's no necessity, a person should really wait till the end of the second day. However, if it's a real Shasad Chak, the Mishnah Berurah says, then a person could be Mekel like Shitas Rashi. Like, what's the case? A person doesn't have clothes for Yontif. This is all his clothes. Hopefully the person tried to get clothes before Yontif. You know, that's usually the time that you really run out to the store and you write up the bill, because that's the airline's going to pay you back for everything you buy. So you buy five times over and do a whole dance deal and this and that, so all the shtick. But so that's in terms of Bechdei Sheyasu. So potentially in a normal situation, if let's say a person doesn't necessarily need it, so they could have it delayed even until the second day of Yontif, and that's going to be the case. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, everyone agrees, because that's Yom HaRichta. Even the Sfardim, everyone agrees when it comes to Rosh Hashanah that that's one long day in Bechdei Shiyasu. So that's an important halacha. That not only is this Isser Lahenos, to get Hana, even Usser on Shabbos and Yontif, but it's even Usser potentially for afterwards because we give a Knas and we want to make sure that you're not going to, that we, you're not going to get benefit from Amir La'akum. Now what happens in the following situation? This happens a lot. I like to call this the room service. I mean the guest. What do you call it? The housekeeper. The housekeeper in the hotels. You put the things on the door, and you say, "Don't come in." You say, "Don't come into the room," right? And they never listen, right? Or you have a person in the house that you left all your lights on. You left all your lights on before Shabbos, and you set up your house before Shabbos, and then someone was around in the house, whatever, a guy for whatever reason is around the house, which we have to discuss. We're not up to there yet, but we have to discuss what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. I promised Ann, who left to Eretz Yisrael, but we have to get back to her question about what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do with help in the house. But let's say they turn off, or they're walking out of the room, and they turn off the lights, or they turn off the bathroom lights. Then I don't instruct them and tell them, you go back there and turn it back on, because that would be shlichus. Even though it was their mistake, that would be shlichus. But let's say they know, oh, or they remember, oh wow, it's the Sabbath. I know that he left on the lights. Or I even hinted it. I said, I really hope those lights weren't turned off. And I say it even in an expressive way. Comes along the Bir Halacha, and the Bir Halacha quotes the Elohim Rab, and he says that's absolutely mutter if she goes back into the room, turns the air conditioning back on, or turns the light back on. Why? So the Elohim Rab talks about a case that was mamish like this case. She said sometimes the Goyim would fix the wick that the light was burning on for Shabbos, and accidentally, while she was playing around with the wick, she extinguished the flame. So the Elohim Rab says, if now she reignites the flame, that's not because of you. That's because of her. She messed up. She doesn't want to lose her job. She doesn't want you to be upset with her. Now she's doing it for her own reason. That is not a reason why the Chazal would ask you to get any hana from that malacha. And that would be a situation that would be mutter. So therefore, if the goy, on their own, change the situation on Shabbos, and now fix the situation in order to go back to its original state, that would not be a violation of Hana that we're talking about here, and that is their own, you know, prerogative and their own initiative, and therefore you are allowed to get Hana from such a situation, even though if the Eliyahu Rab wouldn't have said it, one could have argued, what do you mean? They're mamish doing a malacha for you on Shabbos. The chiddush is that not. We look at the situation, and since they're only trying to fix their own issue, so therefore that would be a case where it would be mutter to be ned. I'm sorry, you had a question before.
Yes, basically it's regarding health issues, right, on Shabbos. Like example of the death, right?
Yeah.
You gave example that you decided because you previously had some
right. Right.
But I could argue and say, you know, he could have get treatment in the hospital, right? You know, still, even though they didn't know about it.
Right. So I think that the doctor.
How you decide? I mean, from logical point of view, you're absolutely right.
Right. From experience. And from, I happen to have known the situation, and I happen to be experienced with hospitals that there is a difference with a doctor that's familiar with the case and a doctor that's not familiar with the case.
Well, that part I should understand.
Right.
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 If a chole. Okay, it's a little bit out of our domain. We could talk about this, but in general, if a chole feels that they are going to be treated better and being taken care of, even psychologically, even if it's proven wrong, but they think that this doctor will take better care for them, then that's something that we take into consideration in halacha. Yeah. It's not basically how you feel about it, but it's if it's something, again, not everything, but if the chola, if there is argument, if they say this doctor knows my case, yes. If that's your feeling and that's what it's based on, I'm just saying not everything that they feel about, but if it's something like that, a doctor that knows my case and is more familiar with that case and I feel that they'll treat me better, then yes. Yeah.
So the package that's delivered on Shabbos, you don't bring it into your house.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
How long after Shabbos you can use it?
The amount of time that it would take to transport it for them to do a malacha.
Maybe it took 3 days.
Maybe it took a week.
I don't know if it took a week.
If you order something,
I think Amazon Prime, right, is usually 2 days.
Unless you do regular Amazon and you see that it shipped.
No, so I don't think that's not the fact that they decided to eat their donuts and delay and, you know, not take it right away. That's not my issue. I need to know where it came from and how long it took and how long the malacha took.
Like how long it would.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that this was his first time in New Jersey and he stopped to take pictures, you know, in some site that you know, they're not what practically. How long the malacha takes, right? You would have the same thing with an apple.
Like it would be a few hours.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Like practically from Texas, it's stopping at multiple.
Right. So that. Right, but the malacha was done. The malacha began from Texas, so it would be the amount of time that it takes from Texas to New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meaning, not like, oh, I drove to the airport. Like, if I flew from my house to Texas, how long would it take? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if you technically can't do it without driving as well, so then that would have to be included as well. Whatever. It's not a hypothetical situation because the airplane doesn't park in front of your house. They have to drive to your house. So if it's a UPS truck, so UPS drives to the airport. So it's the same malacha. Yeah?
Last Rosh Hashanah, we discovered our oven goes off automatically after whatever it's called, a safety feature.
Uh-huh.
So I probably said wrong, but I asked the guy from the family
to turn it back on. I remember that. You asked like a lot of people if they were Jewish, right? Don't worry, my wife did that also, yeah. You asked them to do it back on, yes. So that's an excellent question. So the reason why that was mutter, I think the reason why I said it was mutter, so I better say it was mutter, is because Yontif is different than Shabbos. Yontif, there is an heter of Ochel Nefesh. There is a heter to cook on Yontif, and many malachas are mutter on Yontif. Now, it is not mutter to turn on a flame on Yontif. However, the shaila is, why is it not mutter to turn on a flame on Yontif? Is that an Isser D'Oraisa or is that an Isser D'Rabbana? So the Gemara says in Beitza, the reason why it's usher to turn on a flame on Yontif is because molid ish, because you're now creating a fire anew, and that's not something that was permitted on Yontif. Yontif, the Ochel Nefesh means you have food, and now you're cooking up the food that's existing. But if I'm now creating something, Yesh Me'ayin, fire that wasn't existing before, and light striking a match and turning on a fire, that's not something that was mutter. The Poskim, with the exception of the Taz is of the opinion that that's an Isser D'Oraisa. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes that he thinks, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav is also of the opinion, that he thinks that the Isser to ignite a flame on Yontif is only an Isser D'Rabbanan. It's called Molid Ish. So because it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, and because you're involving Amir La'akum, once you find a guy, so then that would what be called, we didn't get to discuss these factors, we discussed it briefly, I think Ophira brought it up last week, and now Baruch Hashem, she gets a mazel tov to the Abramson family. So because that would be on Yontif, because it's only Molid Ish, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan, and it's Amir La'akum, which is also D'Rabbanan, and this is an order for you to have your meal on Yontif, so that's why I applied this concept called Shvus D'Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. This is your own Yontif. Just like we said, owning Shabbos, this is your meal. So that would be a situation where it would be mutter. On Shabbos, that would not be the case. Because on Shabbos, that would be an Issa D'Oraisa, that would be Amir La'akam and an Issa D'Oraisa. And we have to discuss when and if ever that is going to be mutter in any cases. But that's the answer. The answer is Yontif versus Shabbos, because we don't pass on like the Taz, because we pass on like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that Molid Ish is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. Okay. What about the following situation? This is very important. The Taz, has a heter which the Mishnah Berurah does paskin like in Hilchas Amir La'akum. I tell the guy, please get me my slippers from upstairs. No problem. At the end, there's no problem with that, no matter, even if it's hired help that's in your home, that is absolutely permitted, and that's a good reason to have people in. If you want to send them upstairs to get you your slippers, that's absolutely permitted. Good. However, what's the situation? She can't find my slippers. Why can't you find my slippers? Because it's dark. So now, says the Taz, the only way she can find my slippers is if she turns on the light. Says the Taz, she can turn on the light, and she can now I can ask her, please leave it on, and now I can have the light on in that room. Or washing the dishes. I ask her, go wash the dishes. And she needs to go in, and she can't even see where to scrub. She can't even see where to wash. The room is the kitchen's dark. And she turns on the light to wash the dishes. But I didn't ask her to turn on the light. I asked her to what? To do something that was mutter. That would be something, says the Taz, that it's mutter for me to benefit from. Yeah?
But are you asking her with the intention that she's going to turn on the light?
Yes, yes.
So then why is that not, that's like the
reason? No, because I'm not being merames on this malacha. I gave an absolutely different pa'ula. I gave him an absolutely different activity. So that, what?
There's also a big chance she'll shut off the light.
That's true. That's true. That's true. But let's say she turned on the light and I run upstairs and said, please don't turn it off. Like the case of like the case last week, Reb Chaim Kanievsky.
You can say it directly like that.
Don't turn it off. Yeah, I can tell it not to do a malacha. Please, come and join us with Shabbos. Enjoy us. It's the malacha to do a malacha. I'm stopping her from doing a malacha. Why can't I stop her from doing a malacha?
Don't turn it off.
Don't turn it off. Ah, don't do what you're about to do. That's exactly, that's the story from last week. The Kanievskys were in a dark home. What did they decide to do? They decided to invite over the guy to drink a beer at their house. The guy said, what are you, Meshuggahs? No one drinks beer in the dark. And he wants to have his beer in the light. And what happened? The guy turned off the light after he left. And then they invited him for a second beer. So then what happened? Before he left to turn off the lights, they said to him, please don't turn off the lights. Leave it on. Because he did the malacha totally for himself. That is something that is adaita denafshe. That's something that he did for himself. It's not for himself, you would have thought. Without the Taz saying this, I would have said, what do you mean? This is not for himself. He's only interested in the slippers because I asked him to look for the slippers. Yeah, but you did not suggest this is a totally extended activity. This is a distant activity. It happens to be in order for me as a hechsher, in order for me to be able to enable myself to find the slippers, I have to turn on the light, or in order for me to wash the dishes, I have to turn on the light. But since I didn't instruct them to turn on the light, that would be something that's mutter. Why is this so relevant? Not because we're always sending goyim to look for our slippers, but I think it's relevant in the following situation. And now let me hear what you think about this. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. I ask a goy on Yontif to please show up and help me in the house. To all do mutter things. I don't discuss where they live. I don't discuss where they're coming from. I don't discuss anything else. And now they have to drive a car in order, they're going to drive a car in order to get to my house. That's the most convenient way for them to get to. Now, one could have distinguished beforehand, if they're in potential walking distance from the house, that could be another reason, as we'll get to for in a second, why it might be mutter. But I want to discuss even without that. It's impossible to find the slippers without turning on the light. So let's say it's impossible for them to get to my house without driving a car. But I didn't ask them to drive the car. I asked them to come to help, to be here, to enable themselves to be around for Shabbos. Now, that might mean sleeping over in a hotel over here. That might mean hanging out with your friends and your buddies that you hang out with in Berdan Park, that you always hang out with. Or that might mean driving a car in order to enable me to get to that malacha. Now, maybe one could apply this Taz and say that even if I know the person is going to do a malacha in order to get to the house, perhaps that might be mutter, similar to the case of the Taz, that I know that they can only find the slippers or wash the dishes, which is the Taz's case. The Taz says it's impossible, the Mishnah Berurah says, it's impossible for them to wash the dishes. Not all the poskim agree, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Halacha. Mishnah Berurah says, even if it's impossible for them to wash the dishes and to do what you want, unless they did a malacha, That's not what you asked them to do. So that would potentially be a mutter, and that would potentially create a tremendous kula in many different scenarios where you're going to have goyim in the house that are going to do things that are permitted on Shabbos.
It seems a little different.
Uh-huh. Permitted work.
Permitted work,
right,
in the house.
And I'm not even intending.
You're not benefiting from
so you're saying it's car. So you're saying
exactly.
So now, okay, so now if I'm telling you that the first case is permitted,
yes.
So you're saying for sure the second case should be permitted. You're saying it's better. That's what you're arguing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
great.
It's not the same.
Okay, I hear you. I understand. Yeah. I didn't intend that for all. I don't even think about how you transport yourself and how you get here. But the common denominator is that is a preparatory stage. That is not the entity that I was asking you to do on my behalf. And in light of that, the Taz says that would be mutter even if that was my original intention, because that's not what I expressed to you. So that's a tremendous kula that I wouldn't necessarily have suggested before. Another thing that's very important that we said very quickly that I want to highlight. This is a very important kula, and I said it in the last 2 minutes of last week's shiur, and therefore we should just reiterate it because it can help out a lot. Comes along the Magen Avraham, also debated by some poskim, but the Mishnah Berurah accepts it, and the Rama accepts it la'alacha, and we have the right to be makel based on this. There is a concept la'alacha called a davar she'eino miskavin. Very important, before we discuss any of the malachos and any of the things that are going to be prohibited on Shabbos, we have to discuss some background. They're only prohibited if my kavana was to do that activity. But if my kavana was to do action X, and then action Y came about, so then that is not considered a malacha on Shabbos. When they did malachas HaMishkan, they were very focused on their malach. They knew exactly what they were involved in, and they knew exactly what the outcome was going to be. So therefore, the Gemara says, if it's a davar she'eino miskavin, if I'm dragging a bench across the land, so the Gemara says, there's no problem with that. What do you mean? There's a 50-50 chance, or even a 75% chance, that there's going to be a hole that's going to be dug in the ground by me dragging the bench. Says the Gemara, who cares? That's not your kavana. Davar she'eino miskavin is mutter on Shabbos. If your kavana is to drag the bench, then that's not something that's going to be usher on Shabbos. We have this all the time. We have this all the time with taking strollers, and all the time the stroller is going on the grass. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the grass gets caught up. That's a malach of kotzer on Shabbos. So why shouldn't we usher going to the park on Shabbos? Why should we usher taking the stroller on the grass? So the answer is because it's only a 75% chance, and your kavana is to push the stroller across the way, not to pull out fruits and vegetables and grass from the ground. So therefore, it's mutter. However, the Gemara tells us, if it's inevitable that that's going to happen, if it's a psik resha, so then the Gemara says that's something that's prohibited. You cannot do something and try to pretend that you're innocent if it's inevitable that outcome is going to happen. Good. That's what's accepted for all malachas on Shabbos, and something that's essential for all malachas on Shabbos. So therefore, let me just finish. For therefore, if I left my fridge light on Shabbos, I am not allowed to open the fridge on Shabbos. That is something that's absolutely prohibited. You cannot do it. And therefore, you have to go back to the street and go find the guy and ask them to open the fridge. So ask the poskim, why are you allowed to ask the guy? Just like I'm not allowed to do it, he's not allowed to do it as well. Comes along the Magen Avraham, comes along the Rama and says, no. Amira la'akam was only to ask them to do a malacha. But if I'm going to ask a guy to do something that's going to inevitably cause an outcome of a malacha, but his kavana is to do action X, even if it's a psik resha, it's inevitable that action Y is going to be an outcome, says the Magen Avraham, Amira la'akam was never instituted in such a manner. That is a tremendous kula. Number one, says Rav Moshe, that's the best etza when it comes to the situation of the fridge. And If you have the opportunity to get all the food out that you need, take out the food now. And if not, and you're not going to be able to get the goy each time, so then you should ask the goy to unscrew the bolt. And we'll talk about why that's mutter another time. So that would be a situation. It's absolutely prohibited, a shayla of a daraisa, for me to open the fridge. But for the guy, it's absolutely mutter. Why? Because his kavana is to open a fridge. No lights. I don't even know that the light's on there over there. That's not my kavana. Even though it's a psik resha. Or I forgot something in my car. And I have lights on my doors to my car. And therefore what? I ask the guy, do me a favor. Please take something. Please get this from my car. So why isn't it mutter for me to open up the car? Because it's a psik resha. The lights are going to turn on. But what? For the guy, he's trying to open the car. He's not trying to open the lights. That would be a situation that's mutter. Or the minig in my family is not to open bottles on Shabbos. Because I can't make a cap on Shabbos. So therefore, when I open a cap, what? It's a psik resha that there's going to be a kli. People have different minhagim when it comes to this halacha, to machlokas haposkim. But if I ask a guy to do it, what? He has kavanas to open a bottle. He doesn't know about a kli over here. It's a psik resha that a bottle cap is going to be opened and a new vessel is going to be created. That would be a situation that it's absolutely mutter. For Rabosai, why is it mutter to ask him to open the car? Aren't I asking the guy to do something that's usser even without a psik resha? What am I asking the guy to do before opening the car? What does he have to take?
The keys.
The keys. What are the keys? Mukta. Is it mutter to ask a goy to pick up mukta for you? So the answer is yes. Just like in Hilchos Mukta, if there is mukta on a certain spot and I'm just going to indirectly move it, as long as this is not considered, we have to learn a little bit more of mukta. Not sure when that's going to be. But let's say for some reason this is not considered mukta. Okay? It's someone placed this mukta item onto a table during Shabbos, and now, or a tray during Shabbos, and now I move this over and I spill it off. So that's what's called tiltul min atzad. I'm not directly moving it, right? And since it was placed on in the middle of Shabbos, this tray is not considered mukta. And now I spill it off because I needed the area, I needed the table that it was on, and now I didn't want mukta on it. So says the Magen Avraham, so if you need the makom, if you need the area, you need the table, and the mukta item is now stopping you using that item, so what? You're allowed to do what? Indirect tiltul. I'm allowed to do tiltul min atzad. I'm allowed to go like this and move it with the tray. Says the Magen Avraham, in essence, every time a goy is moving mukta for you, and it's for a specific reason, and it's for a specific purpose, that's a virtual tiltul min atzad. You're not being metal to the mukta directly. You have a specific tzorech that you need the mukta item. Okay, it's got to fit in to the rules and regulations of mukta, but in many situations, that will potentially be mutter because it's indirect tiltul, not through a tray, not through pushing it, but rather through the goy himself. Mirtzah Hashem, I hope to close up Amir al-Akum with the third shir. We're going to discuss all the heter next week. We're going to discuss household help and all the different issues that we haven't discussed up until now. And Yashar Koyach.